Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a new episode of The Good Pharmacist. This is your friendly neighborhood pharmacist, Amru Imad. And today we're going to speak about a very, very important topic. It is important to me. It is important to you. It is important to all of us. So let's get ready and let's go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Amru Imad with you, and today we're going to speak about common cold and flu and seasonal allergy. But before we go into that, I need to tell you that I'm so sorry and apologize that I have been far away for a long, long time. You know, during this pandemic, we have been facing a lot. I have been facing a lot, but now it's time to get back to work. I have been gathering my information and knowledge to be able to deliver for you the best information in the best way possible. And this is the only way that you beautiful audience deserve the information to have. Okay, today also gonna introduce to you a very amazing and beautiful guest. We will have a little chat with him and we'll discuss about our topic today, which is common cold and flu and seasonal allergy. But stay tuned, this will be later in the episode. So let's start. Let's start with some facts about common cold and seasonal allergy. Did you know that common cold and flu comes 2 to 4 times in adults, but it comes 3 to 6 more times more in children? That's why I'm going to speak later about how children are more affected to cold and flu and seasonal allergy and how we can actually symptomatically treat them. And all of this will be discussed later, but let's go further. Did you know that in the US alone, there is only $40 billion are spent yearly on the treatments of common cold and flu? And this is a lot, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe that this amount of money has been spent and will be spent, and people will keep spending such amounts of money because they actually do not understand how or what is the situation they are dealing with. Okay, and now, ladies and gentlemen, drum rolls, please, with the main statement of this episode. Say no to antibiotics. Antibiotics is amazing, antibiotics is good, but only if your physician walks it to you. Don't go to the pharmacy and buy it. And actually, here in the UAE, from Dubai, you cannot go and buy antibiotics from the pharmacy anymore. You have to get a prescription from a doctor, and only then it will be applicable and you'll be able to take your medication from the pharmacy. And this is amazing, because antibiotic usage, if it is not necessary, it might lead, my friends, it might lead to you that you will have a resistance, and later on this antibiotic will not work whenever you get any bacteria or cold or flu or whatever you have. Okay, let's start. How is this diseases being developed? First, the virus or bacteria, whatever it is, it enters your mucosal membrane. What is a mucosal membrane? It is the inner lining part of your nasal areas, of most of your cavities, your throat, your mouth. All of these are mucosal membranes, ladies and gentlemen. So, and they will activate, as I love to say, the nightcaps, which are called the inflammatory mediators. We have 4 inflammatory mediators. What are inflammatory mediators? These are the four components that are responsible for whatever condition I am gonna explain right now. So these are bradykinin, prostaglandins, leukotrienes, and thromboxane. And as I said again, these four are called inflammatory mediators, which means they mediate inflammation. They start inflammation process. So all of these factors will lead to nasal congestion, of course, runny nose, sore throat, and headache. Okay, someone will come and tell me now, sir, I told him yes, he will tell me, you are speaking about facts and what is how this disease is developed. Can you please tell me more about common cold or influenza, or as we can call, flu? I will give it to you in a simple point, in a very easy way. Here it is. Common cold, it is this versus this. So if you want to get a paper and actually write it, this will be amazing. So common cold, it comes from direct contact or droplet inhalation. So it comes from either direct contact or droplet inhalation. Direct contact, that someone sneezed anywhere on or coughed or anything on any object on any surface, and you went and you touched that surface, and you took and you touched your nose, ears, nose, mouth without even washing your hands. And this is actually have been discussed now, because these are some ways of COVID-19 has been transmitted between people. Droplet inhalation, of course, someone sneezed in the air, coughed in the air, and you inhaled whatever droplet that have been carried out by the air. It starts with irritated throat and low fever. It is characterized by sneezing. You will have a nasal congestion, muscle pain, cough, sometimes non-productive cough, and sometimes actually productive cough. But the most amazing thing about common cold, and of course common cold is not amazing, but at least we have something, that it is less prone to complications, my friends. Now we have the influenza, which is characterized by droplet inhalation, direct contact. It can be transmitted by also droplet inhalation, direct contact. Of course, high fever. There is also headache and dizziness. It is characterized also by severe cough, nasal congestion, occasionally runny nose, but the most important and most dangerous thing here in influenza, it is more prone to complications. And ladies and gentlemen, influenza or the flu is caused by viruses, and viruses cannot be treated by antibiotics. This is the wrong and mistaken information that all of you might have. And if you don't, and you know someone that have this information, please inform him. Viruses cannot be treated by antibiotics. Only bacteria can be treated by antibiotics, which is common cold. But flu cannot be treated. We only treat the symptoms, ladies and gentlemen. We decrease the symptoms, not the disease itself. Okay. Of course, there is three ways of transmission. There is the direct transmission from person to person. There is the indirect, of course, from a surface or an object to the person. And there is droplet, such as droplet transmission, such as in common cold, which is the most famous transmission mode in common cold. Okay, the symptoms which appears when you have a common cold or flu will be according to this. Sometimes it might not be in the same order, but occasionally it will not be different. It will come from viral contact. The viral contact will happen, and this is the flu, by the way. Sore throat will happen, then sneezing will come after. Come after the nasal congestion, then myalgia. What is myalgia? Myalgia is muscle aches and pain. You'll feel great aches and pain in your muscles, you know, as if like you went to the gym after a long time of not playing, and in the next day morning you cannot move. This is how it is. Then non-productive cough, and then it will go to productive cough. Okay, what is the treatment? There is OTC treatment and there is home remedies. OTC treatment or OTC definition, this terminology is called this is a shortcut for over-the-counter medication, which means that this is medication that you can go to the pharmacy and actually buy it without the need to have a prescription from any physician. Of course, the OTC, you can use a single product or can use a combination product, and we will discuss about the products just right now. Of course, there are home remedies too. You can take gargles, you can take humidifiers, you can take saline solutions. Of course, plenty of fluids. You need to drink plenty of hot fluids. You have to drink vitamin C, orange juice, everything. All of this is very important. And saline solution, you can actually get it from any pharmacy. You can go and ask for saline solution. It is not a medication, but it is a home remedy, and it is very effective. Okay, what are the types of OTC you can use? You can use a decongestant, a cough suppressant, an expectorant, an analgesic, or an antihistamine. What is all of this? What do I mean? Decongestant is something that you take to relieve the congestion in your nasal cavity. There are two types. There are decongestants and there are oral decongestants. Decongestants, such as there are two types. There are two acting, there are long-acting and short-acting amines, such as xylometazoline and oxymetazoline. But these types of decongestants, of course, I'm telling only the generic names. I cannot say any product unless I get sponsored and get paid. Thank you very much. But let's go back to our topic. These Oxalometazoline and oxymetazoline, these generics or this decongestant, cannot be used for over 5 days. And why? Please focus on this information. It causes rhinitis medicamentosa. What does this mean? It means it causes rebound nasal congestion due to extended use of topical decongestant. Thank you very much. The side effects of long usage of topical decongestant, which is the oxymetazoline and xylometazoline, are burning and stinging sensations, sneezing, and actually increase the nasal discharge. So if you used it so many times and extended the period you're allowed to use it, actually the condition will become worse instead of becoming good. The oral congestant, decongestant, of course, it has a slow onset of action. It acts slowly. It reaches to enter the mucosal area. Yes, I forgot to mention that the topical decongestant, it only reaches the area which you spray the decongestant on, which is the nasal cavity mucosal membrane. But the oral decongestant goes to anywhere. It does not cause a rebound congestion. And of course, whether you use an oral decongestant, if it causes for you any nervousness, dizziness, drowsiness, you need to stop it immediately. And of course, the generic names that you, if you want to write it, to use it afterwards, to go to the pharmacy, you ask about them, what is the product that you have in your country with these generic names, are Sidu, Ephedrine, and Phenylephrine, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now, analgesics and antihistamines. What kind of analgesics you can use? You can use paracetamol, you can use ibuprofen, aspirin, naproxen, or ketoprofen. All of these also has specific products in your own homes or your countries. For the antihistamines, of course, antihistamines actually is an anti-allergic medication. You have a histamine in your body. If this histamine increased, only then you will get the nasal discharge, the runny nose, the burning and heat sensation in your eyes, the sneezing a lot, sometimes rash over your skin. So all of this, when this happens, you need to take an antihistamine, which decreases the amount of histamine in your body in order to decrease any allergy you have. There are two generations of antihistamines, first and second. The first one you have to take, you can find, there is example like diphenhydramine and chlorpheniramine. These things, this type of generation, it is drowsiness, it is sedative, sir. So if you took it, please make sure that you take it before you sleep, and do never take it before you drive or do anything or any heavy work. The second generation is actually safe. It does not cause dizziness, drowsiness. It's also preferable to take one tablet at night, but still you can use it, no problem, which is loratidine, desloratidine, and cetirizine, and levocetirizine too. Okay, now I need to discuss actually one more important thing, that you can ask me two questions. Okay, you spoke about these medications as for adults. What do we do for children? I will ask you then a question. Are they more than 12 years or less than 12 years? You'll tell me, does it make a difference? I'll tell you, yes, sir. If they are less than 12 years old, we will follow a statement which is called less is more. What does that mean? Less medications is more profit for those children. How? Cough and cold remedies prove no relief in young children. No relief. You're only worsening their conditions. You're only making them prone to chemicals and resistance if you give them. And please, no antibiotics for children. Again, I will repeat it. No antibiotics for children, please. Of course, it can cold and flu can cause allergies, drowsiness, and hallucinations for such children. And of course, we prefer not to give medications because we are afraid also that there will be a risk of overdosage, especially in children, because they are very delicate creatures and sometimes they will not be able to afford any dosage, and or we can make any mistakes when we are giving them the exact dosages. The treatment is simple. We can give them normal saline. This is not a chemical medication. It is actually just a normal saline that you can get. It is as a spray, of course, or as drops from any pharmacy. You can use a nasal aspirator, fluid intake, a lot of fluid intake, and can use humidifier. Humidifier in the room will be amazing for in children. Another question, what do we do for pregnant ladies when they get these kinds of diseases? Okay, for all eggs, the most safe form to use is paracetamol. Always use paracetamol. It is the most important form. Acetaminophen, which is called acetaminophen, of course, it is the safest. For coughing, you should do as advised from your physician. For sore throat, you can use lozenges, but please, you can use only herbal lozenges. Go away from any lozenges that contain benzocaine, because it will not be effective, and actually it will hurt you as a pregnant lady. For nasal congestion, use normal saline, or you can use a humidifier. How to prevent cold and flu? Please always wash your hands, always avoid touching your face. Please, if it's you can stop smoking, do not smoke. Use disposable items, especially outdoors. Get vaccinated and stay home. Of course, there are alternative and allied remedies that you can take next. These are supplements and vitamins. You can actually take next your normal medications. You can take vitamin C, zinc, honey, echinacea. You can use a humidifier, a nebulizer, a steam inhaler, a thermometer. Of course, you need a thermometer to check the your temperature. And of course, it is very important, as I do mainly, you can take a hot cup of tea with some honey and lemon, and this will be amazing. So by this, we have discussed everything we need to discuss about common cold and flu and seasonal allergy. If you have any questions, please follow us on our Instagram page, The Good Pharmacist, and put your questions over there. We will put this episode over there too. But now it is time for our special guest, and he is coming just right next, and stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, our new episode of The Good Pharmacist. We would like to say hello to an amazing and beautiful guest, my own brother here from Georgia in Europe. He is a small brief about him. He is a medicine student. He's studying medicine back at Medical State University. He's an elite student over there. And actually, we would like to say his opinion about our topic today, which is common cold and flu season allergy. So as a start, we will give him a great applause and say, hello, Mustafa. How are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? How are you now in Georgia?
Yeah, my studies are going great. It's doing great. And I just finished my finals. It was pretty tough, but I nailed it. Alhamdulillah, I nailed it.
Good.
I need to make you and my father and mother proud, man.
Inshallah. Actually, this is what we are expecting from you. So let's not just do this any more longer for our audience, and let me go straight forward to the topic. What do you think? What is your opinions about common cold and flu? How do you think people are actually being able to manage their treatment with common cold and flu and seasonal allergy, or just trying whatever works? And if it works, it is fine. And if it is not working, then we will go to another option.
Well, it's common cold and flu is. We have been experienced the common cold and flu from ages now. As we all know the history of common cold and flu, when it came in the past, it was deadly. And by the development of time and development of science and hard work of pharmacists and doctors working together to create a new medicine, now it's anything. It's easy to defeat common cold and flu.
Yeah, I understand. But do you think that people are actually doing it from knowledge, that they know that they have the right information, the right guidance, that if they get whatever, like cold, flu, or seasonal allergy, that I know that this is because of, for example, allergies because of histamine, so I take this antihistamine, or they are taking whatever medication they can find in front of them, or for whatever medication their parents have made them take before ages. And what if it works, it works. If it is not working, this is my question. Do the people take their medications according to solid information, or according it is it goes going like whatever works will works?
Well, the half of the people who experience cold and flu, half of them works with the medication, and they do researches and see why it's why they have the cold and flu and how they get better, what medicine they should take. And the other half, they use what their grandparents they used to give them. And the in my opinion, this has benefits and this has benefits. Like when you search and see and look which medicine is good, which you will find some cold and flu, different types of cold and flu, and you will find different types of medicine for it.
Yes. So what do you think, like, let's go from this point to another point, that's why, for example, what do you think that of this, because of resistance, because people were using antibiotics when they do not need to use antibiotics, the bacteria in their bodies, actually, they got resistant. It gained resistance toward this antibiotic. What do you think about this?
The antibiotics that body made for the bacteria, it's like when I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, let me simplify it another way. Like we can forget that question. Mm-hmm. Are you with antibiotic being with prescription or not?
With prescription.
Yes, and that's because resistance. Yes.
Yeah, because some folks they might the compound of the medicine they are going to take, their body are allergic to it, or they have antibodies to some components in the medicine, so it won't affect them direct good. So they need to go to a doctor so he can knows what their body is.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Or having some antibodies too,
and
he can write the prescription, and he goes to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist has a great part of the.
Yeah, this is actually the question which I'm gonna ask you next. How do you think, like, of course you're a doctor, you become a physician, and of course, inshallah, like in the future, you will be one of the most famous surgeons ever. Inshallah. But how do you think pharmacists can actually be helpful in guiding people and giving them the needed knowledge to deal with such situations?
Well, let's start with something. Some people in my field have wrong idea about the pharmacist. Okay.
Yes.
I have experienced I have lost many good friends because of this
debate.
Yeah, this idiot idea. This foolish idea that doctors are superior than pharmacists. No, doctors and pharmacists are even the dentists,
even nurses.
Yeah, even the nurses. Anyone's work in the medical field, all of us complete each other. No one. I'm a doctor. I will be inshallah a doctor. I will be a cardiologist inshallah in the future. I can't give someone medicine without asking and consulting a pharmacist. A clinical pharmacist is, in the end, a pharmacist.
Yeah. He has.
In my situation, I will ask you.
So yeah, and he has, so you mean, or if I can simplify to the people, and you can say whether I'm wrong or not, you mean that the pharmacist or a pharmacist or a clinical pharmacist, whether a retail pharmacist or a clinical pharmacist, they both have the exact knowledge and the needed knowledge. They studied for 5 years and or 6 years in some cases, and they took their master's or sometimes they took their PhD too, they have the knowledge that gives them the capability and make them actually capable of giving the information, the right information to patients. Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly what I mean.
Yes, because, perfect.
Because if, like, you have studied the components of the medicine and you have studied everything, you have taken pharmacology, you have taken everything in medicine, you have seen, you have known, you have memorized the side effects, you have memorized what's the components from A to Z, you have you have made a medicine, you have made a plan A for a medicine, for kind, for example, Panadol, like paracetamol. It's, you have made for it plan A. If it's failed, you go to plan B, plan C, plan D, plan F, plan E. You have a really difficult
solid one. Solid background, you mean?
Yeah, solid background. You have you have a really difficult work.
Ben, let me ask a question. How do you deal when you get a common cold or a flu or a seasonal allergy? What do you take? Like, away from medications, like how, what is normal remedies, like home remedies, home component that you might take? What kind could you drink?
I take a tea.
Yeah.
I drink a tea. Yes. And try to get some rest.
Yes.
So my body can do antibodies for the...
not actually antibodies. Your immune system can fight.
Yeah, my immune system can fight. So it can heal. My body can heal itself.
Yes.
So I give it rest. I tried not making any effort. But like here in Georgia, it's negative 10 degrees now. And it's difficult for me to take a rest because I'm in... I'm having shift in the hospitals because I'm going to third year in medicine. So they're making us taking a 72-hour shift.
Yes.
And I'm in research team. I'm the head of research team in viruses.
Yes, mashallah. Good.
Yeah, so it's difficult for me, especially it's difficult for me and my team to take a rest or to have fun or anything. So when I get a cold or flu, I stay at home. I take some tea. I make for myself a soup to drink it. Anything that's hot.
Okay, perfect.
And I rest and see, watch television. That's it.
Amazing, amazing. Anyways, we would like to thank you. And thank you a lot. And our audience would like to thank you for taking some of your time. And we would like to hear from you soon. And stay safe, my friends and my beautiful brother. Stay at home, take your sanitizers, wear your mask. Do you want to give any last advice to the audience?
Yeah. First advice, stay safe, wear your masks. Corona is not an easy thing. I have seen a lot of patients in the hospital. They are athletes. Had a patient underneath my hand. He was an athlete. He was winning 7 gold medals in a marathon in Georgia, but he couldn't breathe a single, and he couldn't breathe O2. Simple thing, simple air, he couldn't breathe.
Yes.
So please be careful, wear your masks, sanitizers, gloves, take your protection, do the social distance. Think about yourself. Think about the others. Yes. Think about your family.
Of course. Of course. Yes.
And second thing, I'm a big fan. Yeah, I'm your brother, but I'm a big fan. And keep watching and keep listening to him. Keep supporting him.
Thank you, brother.
Inshallah, in the future. And mark my words, everyone. Mark my words. He will be one of the greatest podcasts in the whole world.
Thank you, one of the greatest podcasts in the whole world, and inshallah.
I will be soon in Emirates. I booked my tickets and I'll come back, and inshallah, I'm not telling you the date though.
That will be a great surprise, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, thank you so much, brother, for being here, and I hope to see you soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye. See ya.
Welcome back. What an guest, what an interview, what an episode. I hope I have delivered all the information in a very simple and easy way. Of course, this will not be your last time to meet. As I promise you, there will be an episode every week and there will be a different guest every week. And if we could, we will do even 2 episodes per week. So this will be the end of our meeting this time. And I hope I'll see you soon. And stay safe, wear your mask, and goodbye.